Our evening speaker tonight is Brother Jacob Coppers, and the title of his remarks is, Today is the Day of Salvation. Let's give our attention to Brother Jacob.
Good evening. I'm thankful to be here at Martinville with you all this evening. As Brother Bobby mentioned, our title is Today is the Day of Salvation. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. An article written before the year 2000 predicted that if Christ did not return before the end of the millennium, there would be a noticeable falling away among the ranks of the Christadelphians, that the continued absence of our Lord and the condition of the world would discourage the brethren from holding fast to the truth. That was over 18 years ago. Now, our community is smaller, and the world has abandoned all but the pretense of morality. Could our circumstances be described as discouraging? Yes, if we chose to use that description. It is a very natural mindset to ask, How long, O Lord our Savior, wilt thou remain away? Our hearts are growing weary with thy so long delay. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, under the events of the fifth seal, it is recorded that the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? There appears to be a period of delay or tarrying at the time of the end. Habakkuk writes in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. This prophecy is an exhortation to those who are alive and remain at the time of the end, to us. We are informed there is going to be a period of apparent delay, postponement, or tarrying. Just as Noah entered the ark 7 days before the rain fell as a trial of his faith, so we may be faced with a similar delay to try our faith. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. In the next verse, the prophet adds, The just shall live by faith. We live in a world of globalization, a world of instant communication. Things can happen so fast today that the so-called tarrying can change in a moment. What may seem like all things continuing as they were may abruptly change into a worldwide confrontation. We must heed the warning Christ delivered in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Middle East need not be ablaze with war to usher in the return of Christ. On the contrary, Luke 21, verse 35 says that that day will come as a snare on all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. In other words, there is no advance warning, no alarm or bells to signal the day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The modern generation is aptly described as an instant gratification society. It is very much still the me generation. Their attitude is, it's all about me, what I can get for me, what I want. You're after me, I'm first. Society believes that people should have what they want, they are entitled to what they want, and they should get it now. And this attitude can seep into our lives. In view of the current condition of the world and household, one can understand why we might sometimes grow to feel impatient or anxious about the advent of our Lord. At these times, we must remember that the only proper way to measure the perceived delay is to contrast the short time against eternity. A few weeks, months, or even years measured against eternity are as nothing. Picture this scenario. The judgment is over, and the saints are immortalized. Two saints are conversing. One says, "I don't see brother and sister so-and-so here." The other replies, "No, 2 months before the advent, they got tired of waiting, lost their faith, and left the ecclesia." How sad. What a tragedy. Besides prophetic time periods, we are also given signs of the nearness of our Lord's return. What is the outstanding sign of the coming of our Lord today? Is it not the witness of the nation of Israel? Though despised by the world, this is paramount or chief or foremost to us. This is an excerpt from the article I mentioned at the beginning of these remarks. The sign of the nation of Israel is looming larger each day on the international scene. The reason is that the future status of the city of Jerusalem is now officially and finally on the agenda of the peace process between Israel and the PLO. Prime Minister Ehud Barak has given the committees until February 15, 2000 to come up with a framework to settle the final status of Jerusalem, the future borders of the two states, and the matter of Jewish settlements. The final treaty must be reached by September 13, 2000. And they missed that deadline by a little bit. We know from Zechariah 12:3 that Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone for all people. Both nations are demanding that Jerusalem be the capital of their respective states. There is no doubt that this impasse will bring all nations into the decision-making process, and we know that all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Brothers and sisters, we have now entered the time for the final divine solution for the eternal status of Jerusalem. The next few weeks, months, and years will probably be the most exciting times in modern history. We need to keep our eye on Jerusalem. And remember, he will surely come, he will not tarry, wait for him, and keep the faith. End quote. That was written over 18 years ago. Now we see just that. All nations have involved themselves in the destiny of Jerusalem. What they don't know is that the destinies of not only Jerusalem, but their own nations are already decided. We are blessed to be able to observe these events, to see the fulfillment of the Word of God and recognize the nearness of Christ's return. True, we could describe our present condition as discouraging if we look through the eyes of the flesh. But if we look through the eyes of the Spirit, the Word of God, if we believe the promise we've received, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven, we will not allow discouragement, but encouragement to watchfulness and prayer, looking for the day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. So we have an opportunity, while we are alive and well, and have good minds, and can think, and reason, and can come to this place, not just because it's Martinville, but because it's a place where we can be together, apart from the world, to hear the word of exhortation, which can build us up in our one faith and make us wise unto salvation, to enjoy fellowship with one another, and to come together to meet around the table of our Lord to remember his great sacrifice that gives us the hope of eternal life. We follow the example of the first century believers that, as Acts 2:42 says, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Live every day unto the Lord, but live each day as it comes. Who can quote Psalm 118, verse 24? Let's say it out. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is a new life to a wise man. And each morning we should say to ourselves, today is a new life, a new chance to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Don't get me started. With fear and trembling, ever looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to this day. Yesterday is gone. It's only a dream. And tomorrow is only a vision. It's not here yet. But if we live well this day, we make every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope, because we have lived this day unto the Lord. We should look well to this day, because this day that we have right now will never dawn again. And life is slipping away with incredible speed. There is a saying we have heard, I shall not pass this way but once. Therefore, any good that I can do, or any kindness that I can show, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. And we should add that we should do all things heartily as to the Lord. Now, in brief, I would like to reiterate the following 10 points, which I think you've all either heard or read before. In view of this being the start of our gathering, and every day being a new day to a wise man, perhaps this is a good opportunity to revisit and recommit ourselves to applying these things in our lives. Number one, and my Grandpa Moon really liked this one, just for today, I will be happy. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes that most folks are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Happiness comes from within. It's not a matter of externals. It's what you are on the inside. It's not a new car, house, or restaurant in town. It's not, I made a pile of money this year, or look at these beautiful clothes, I've got to have them. That's not what happiness is. Happiness comes from within. As the wise man says in Proverbs chapter 3, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and that getteth understanding. The Psalms contribute, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, and whose hope is in Yahweh his God. It is not a matter of externals. And if we have what seems to us to be insufficient, did you know we would be miserable even if we possessed the whole world? If you don't have sufficiency in what you have today, what would it take to make you happy? You don't find happiness where you go. You've got to take it with you wherever you go, and when you get there and get planted, you should be happy. Number two, just for today, I will try to adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my family, business, and friends as they come and fit myself to them. Hopefully, I don't need to clarify this point, but just in case I do, there is a difference between trying to conform things to your own will or preference and trying to conform to God's will. In matters not pertaining to the truth, there is room for flexibility. So, just for today, I will try to adjust myself to what is, and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. Esteeming others better than ourselves, preferring one another in honor, and submitting ourselves to each other in the fear of God, as related to these flexible matters, means that we make allowances for others, instead of insisting others make allowances for us. Number three, just for today, I will take care of my body, knowing that it is the temple of a living God, as 1 Corinthians 3 tells us. I will exercise it, care for it, not abuse it, not neglect it, so that it will be a perfect machine for God's bidding, better able to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Number four, just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind, I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. And what could require more effort, thought, and concentration than the Word of God? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. Number five, just for today, I will exercise my willpower in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. Did you ever try to do that? To do somebody a good turn and not get found out? Let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. You've got to have one out here and the other over here so one doesn't know what the other one's doing. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. And I will do two things I don't want to do just for exercise. Number six. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress as becometh the brethren of Christ, talk low, knowing that a soft answer turneth away wrath. And that's the truth, it does. So let's call upon that. We should act courteously, criticize not at all, and not try to regulate anyone else. Perhaps we could act on this in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Number seven, just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life's problems all at once. I can do things for 12 hours that would appall me if I had to keep them up for a lifetime. And we should add, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we remember that our Heavenly Father can make all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, we may be better equipped to take off leaving thought. We may be better equipped to leave off taking thought for the morrow, and instead follow the instruction, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Number eight, which is one that ought to be really easy for this weekend. Just for today, I will have a program. I will write down what I need to do every hour. I may not follow it exactly, but it will eliminate two pests, which are hurry and indecision, which are not conducive to spiritual thinking. So what should we do? We should let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number nine. Just for today, I will have a quiet hour all by myself and relax, You think we can do that? Spend an hour all by ourselves just to relax? Maybe we can just have a half hour or 15 minutes. I will use this hour, half hour, 15 minutes to commune with God in prayer and reading. What will that do? It will broaden my understanding and strengthen my faith, believing with all my heart that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What does he say? He says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And what is the opposite? If we don't draw nigh unto God, he won't draw nigh unto us. So we are told, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. We have to look for him. Number 10. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Nothing's going to bother me. For perfect love casteth out fear. Especially, I will not be afraid to be happy, to enjoy what is beautiful, to love, and to believe that those I love, love me. It is now late in the night of our world. Soon Jesus will call you and me to stand before him. All work will be finished, each life page done. Not one line can be added or altered in any way. So do we realize how full of opportunity and responsibility are these days of today? In these fleeting hours, we can prepare our characters for his searching introspection in the day of judgment. It is far better to examine ourselves now rather than when we stand before him at the judgment seat and reflect on those wasted hours. Just visualize that day in your mind. Now is the time. Yesterday's gone, not tomorrow, today. Let us live these remaining hours of Gentile times in his service. Thank you.